Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Godfather of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
This one? All right, so that one. All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance being joined right now in studio by Dana Holgorsen, head coach of the Houston Cougars. 12 wins last year, 12-2, including the big bowl win against Auburn. Got to feel this offseason had lighter step, food tastes better. Everything is, it, you know, after a tough season last year, and compare off seasons, how much better it is this offseason.
Yeah, there's a little bit more momentum right now, obviously. We've turned the page, though. We don't talk about last season very much. You know, it's every year is different. Every team's different. So, you know, we celebrated that victory for about a month. You know, we had a couple of deals that we got recognized on. All that stuff's good. It's good for the program, you know, but then you got to kind of turn the page. And you use it in recruiting, obviously, but you know, when we started our off-season workouts, you know, there wasn't any talk about last year. It's all about what we, you know, what we didn't do, which was, you know, beat Cincinnati in that championship game. Our goal is to win the conference, so we got more work to do. Hopefully, we'll have that same opportunity.
I just got one question about the celebration, though. That trophy, he had a little fuzz right here, and then he didn't have any pants on in the back. He had chapless. It's not Harvey Weinstein.
It's Vulcan, man. It's the god of steel.
Did he wear pants?
That statue.
Can he put pants on?
Yeah, I mean this guy's kind of a badass. Actually, yeah. I mean there's a real statue of this quote unquote god of steel that's actually in Birmingham on the side of a mountain. It looks just like it. So, you know that's steel country. You know, you go from Pittsburgh all the way down to Birmingham. That's steel, you know, not as much anymore. That's a lot of those plants have shut down and everything. But back in the day, that was all about steel. So he was the guy to steel. So he is kind of a badass.
Now. Yeah, you know. Yeah. I mean, you walk around without Koepka does that, wears a thong, and everybody's criticizing him.
Well, that was one picture. Actually, I think he did two pictures, actually.
Yeah, he did a couple.
One is a mistake. One, shame on shame on me. The second one, shame on you, Brooks.
Yeah, right.
The thing, I, you know, it was at my house for about a month, the month of February. When we celebrated the month of January, I'm sorry. And so I do think that thing came to life at night and jumped off its little perch and terrorized our neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. We took him to the golf course one time. He was a big hit. Everybody wanted to take pictures with him.
It was like the Stanley Cup.
Yeah. No. He was a big hit.
100%. We talked about it in season with you, but that was a really strange year when you look at the arc of the year and how it worked out. You know, you take an early loss and then you have just some really, the guys just, it just wasn't gelling early in the season, even in wins. What was it? Navy? Who was it that was the rough first half and then you came back and won the second?
Navy.
I think it was Navy.
It was Navy.
And I remember, boy, people were all pissed off on Twitter and all this and that. And then it didn't look good. You weren't happy with it. But then it just slowly got better and better and better. And that was an arc that it was truly, it wasn't a bell curve. It was just a straight, it was just an uphill track to where at the very end you're beating Auburn, an SEC team, in a bowl game. You ever been part of a season like that where it had such an upward momentum?
I have not, actually. It kind of lined up. The schedule lined up good. You go back to that first game. I wish that game would have been played at TDECU Stadium against Texas Tech out there in the heat. It may have ended up a little bit different. That neutral environment there gave Tech some juice in the second half. They had a lot of fans there, too. And if you go back and you look at what Texas Tech's season was, I'm not making excuses at all, but they ended up winning 8 games and beat an SEC school in their bowl game, too. I mean, they hammered Mississippi State.
They had injury issues that hurt them.
They did in the middle of the season. But the fact that they were just flat out going to fire their coach the first opportunity that they had, that kind of put a negative outlook on their season as well. So you lose that game, neutral site, Big 12. So, if we didn't play very good in the second half, if we would have played better in the second half, obviously we might have got that win. And then, geez, you might have slipped up at some point, midseason or something like that, if you're sitting there at 8-0 or whatever it is. So, the second game against Rice, I thought we played really good. Unfortunately, Clayton Toon snapped his hamstring there in the fourth quarter. That really hampered our offense the next couple weeks. He could not do anything. I shouldn't have played him against Grambling State. We looked like crap in the first half. Played good in the second half and beat them. Didn't have a lot of rhythm against Navy. It took Marcus Jones returning a kick and scoring a touchdown on offense to win that game. But then you're right. Then we kind of started getting into rhythm. His hamstring healed up and got to 100%. And then we get to where we're playing our best ball at the end of the year. Going up to Cincinnati, we played them pretty good for a couple of quarters. They were just too much for us.
So they got a lot of time.
Well, yeah, so you go back and look at 12-2. The two losses were an 8-win, bowl win team in Texas Tech and a CFP team. So we beat the teams we were supposed to.
You did. And it is Marcus Jones. The third phase, everyone looks at when you have a guy that's special like that, he can – I don't want to say single-handedly. Nothing is single-handedly in football. There's a lot of guys who, put effort towards a win and a loss. But when you have a guy that can – single-handedly score a touchdown in the third phase, whether it's kick return, punt return, set you up for a touchdown. It's something that's not typically accounted for when you have line makers making point spreads or you have predictions on games. No one predicts based on a punt returner or a kick returner. And yet he had that impact on at least two direct wins that I can think of.
Yeah, I'd count three. Obviously the SMU one at the end of the game, that's the one that everybody's going to talk about forever and ever. The kick return against Navy and then a kick return against East Carolina, too, which was an overtime game, and we ended up scoring.
That was the storm game.
Yeah, the six-hour delay.
Yeah.
He got a touchdown in that game, too, on a kick return, which, I don't know if we would have won that one without him. You're right. I've never had a guy. I've had some pretty good returners. Wes Welker was a pretty good punt returner. Had, I think, 7 or 8 punt returns in college for touchdowns. He didn't do kick returns.
Had one previously, I think, maybe a different season.
Correct.
He had one.
But Marcus, he did punt and kick.
You mean Wes Welker?
Wes Welker didn't have kick returns.
Marcus did.
Marcus had kick returns
SMU
and punt
touchdown,
returns.
Yeah.
Correct. No, he did both. Tavon Austin did both, but really wasn't that great of a punt returner.
Do you compare? Are they comparable? I know one guy plays corner, although in my scouting profile said he can play receiver.
He could.
I thought he was unguardable in the limited snaps he had early in the season. But are they similar athletes? I think Tavon's faster, I think, than Marcus, but they're both explosive and twitchy.
Yeah, it's really hard to compare. Tavon could outrun you, Marcus. Probably faster than you give him credit for, but he's just more competitive than anything. He hits it and is fearless and, takes chances and all that stuff. One plays defense, one plays offense. Never coached a guy like Marcus. He's arguably one of the best returners to ever do it, just when you look at his totality.
He had two – so he's out right now with surgeries on both shoulders. It's going to be fine. Did he play through that pain for you? Like in the – is that how tough he is playing through that, or were those late injuries?
I think it was just a four-year process.
Accumulation?
Honestly. Yeah, it's just built up. I mean, we didn't want him to get shoulder surgery before his senior year, obviously. We needed him to do what he did for us this past year. But he had an opportunity to do it, and he pulled out of the bowl game. He pulled out of the senior bowl, didn't do anything at the combine, and hasn't lost momentum because his interviews are so spectacular. He's a very intelligent guy. He's very smart. He's very savvy, team captain type guy. I think we're looking at probably somewhere in the third round, fourth round is where he's at. Wherever he goes, a team's going to get somebody that can change the game quick. And his corner skills are unbelievable too. He's just not very big, but the quickness that he plays with his ball skills are pretty special.
Well, and that we see what a game changer is, a Tyreek Hill, guys with special speed and quickness like that, they can – I could certainly see him playing a lot more offense.
Well, just because why would you not want the ball in his hands? Like, right. even if you play him five snaps, he's going to be a nickel, right? So he's going to be a third corner, which plays a lot in the NFL now. Why would you not put that guy in the game five times for fake jet sweep stuff? Because all it's going to do is draw attention, and all of a sudden you're on the backside hitting a big run. Like, I just think that when you have special weapons like that, get the ball in their hands.
Absolutely. All right, we're just getting started with Dana Holgorsen. Let's talk about this spring and what happened and where he's at and where this team is next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, let's talk a little Kinetics.
Let's talk about QC Kinetics, a company that I am very happy that I'm speaking for right now. And I can tell you this right now. My wife is – We're headed to the Boston Marathon coming up this weekend, and we're going to leave on Friday. My wife's going to run it, and it's something that she qualified for before the pandemic, and she said, I'm going to finish this race. Problem is, she's bone on bone with knee injury right now, and it is a struggle for her to get through that. But the great thing is, and I wish we would have found them sooner, but we found QC Kinetics, and this is such a game changer. There are new treatments that are available that don't require steroid injections or surgery. These are new regenerative treatments, and QC Kinetics is the leader in these exciting biological therapies that help restore and repair damaged tissue. Restore and repair. If you've got pain in your knees, your shoulders, your hip, your back, joint pain that is not going away, that is chronic, make sure that you check out these new treatments because they have astonishing patient satisfaction reports, and they can actually help your body restore and repair itself. And there's no downtime, there's no drugs, and most importantly, there is no surgery. This could be a game changer for many of you that are suffering and living with pain. You don't have to. Make sure that you call my friends over at QC Kinetics and set up your free consultation and appointment at 713-913-5285. You need to learn more about these biological therapies that are changing the way you think about dealing with joint pain. 713-913-5285. 5285. That's QC Kinetics.
ESPN 97.5. The Godfather of Houston Sports Radio. The preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance, Dana Holgorsen in studio with us here talking some Cougs football. Let's talk about Clayton Tune. I was as critical as anyone, even more so probably. I was probably more critical of him than most because of his play early on. I've seen now the last couple of years, though, Joe Burrow came out of nowhere. He's the number one overall pick. Kenny Pickett could be the number one pick. Nobody in the preseason thought Kenny Pickett was going to be the number one pick. If Clayton Tune continues to play the way that he played in the second half of last season when he was really good, there's a chance that Clayton Tune just might be the best quarterback in this draft.
Well, I don't want to put that kind of pressure on him, but I do think that he's really improved and is continuously getting better. You know, he's playing with a lot of confidence now. He did gain a lot of confidence towards the end of the season. He played great the last, you know, like the last eight games. We're getting better around him. Some of the receiver weapons that we have right now are going to be pretty exciting to watch. Everybody knows who Tank Dell is, but, you know, there's three or four more guys that we brought in at midterm that look a little different than the bodies that we had last year. You know, O-line, we're getting better. You know, unfortunate to lose our running back, Alton McCaskill. You know, that's been a topic of discussion here the last few days. But that'll probably put a little bit more pressure on Clayton to be able to do some more things in the pass game this year that we haven't done the last couple of years.
What he turned a corner. What was it? What happened?
You know, I just think just maturity. You know, settling in, having some people that believe in him. You know, our coaching staff didn't waver at all. I mean, he was always our guy. I mean, I remember you making a few comments about, you know, why don't you try somebody else? Well, if that was the answer, then we probably would have done that. But, you know, he was the guy, and we believed in him and stuck with him. And he just continued to get better and better. I do think there's the continuity thing around him. And when you have guys around him that are playing good football, I know it's the quarterback's job to make everybody around you better. But the other guys got to kind of do their job too, you know. And I was really impressed with Clayton, who didn't always have the cleanest pocket. You know, we got sacked more than anybody in the league last year. That's got to change, and we've worked hard on it here in the spring. And I do feel better about our pass protection and our offensive line. To the point to where, you know, he got to get comfortable back there, and he's got to have some good rhythm and timing with these receivers, which 15 practices into it, that's what I see. I see us pass protected better, and I see the rhythm with the receivers being as good as it's been for a while.
Okay, no Alton McCaskill. You do have Tayshaun Henry, yep. Right? You've got Brandon Campbell, the transfer from USC. Stacy Sneed, what do we know about him?
Is probably the most improved player on our offense. You know, Stacy came in, had 20-some offers, came in during COVID and shut down for a whole year, didn't do a whole lot, tried to get rid of him. He wouldn't go away. You know, came back last year and grew up. He was ineligible academically last year, so, you know, grew up last year, so... You're looking at a kid that's still 4-for-4. He's got 4 years of eligibility and made as many plays out of the backfield this spring than anybody we have. Tayshaun's got a lot of experience, you know, local Lamar High School product that went to Texas Tech and played a lot of ball at Texas Tech, you know, and played a lot of snaps for us last year. The reason why we took Brandon Campbell is we needed some depth in the backfield, you know, and Brandon Campbell was on his visit, and I actually don't know if I should be talking about him right now, but you know, the reason why you take another back is because you need depth. You know, that position, you're going to lose people and stuff like that. And then the irony on the whole thing is Alton went down, which is why you got to have extra guys. You know, and we got Keelan Walker back there. James Fulbright had a good spring. You know, and so we got some guys. You see, man, when you lose a guy like Alton McCaskill, it hurts, you know. But we got to have other guys step up, and I think we'll have those guys back there that can do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no question. That's a pain. That's a pain. He's going to be. It was the ACL.
Yeah, it was. It was. So, you know, the how long it takes to heal. Everybody's different. You know, I mean, I put a quote out there that, you know, you'd like for him to come back and help us win a championship towards the end of next season. I mean, we're months away from knowing if that's possible or not. You know, some guys heal quicker than others. Some guys have hiccups and they're not going to be able to. I mean, his deal may last 3 or 4 months longer than we want it to. You just don't know until you get into that process and see how the human body's going to react to what the rehab is. So, very successful surgery yesterday. Alton's in good spirits. You know, he went home and to spend some time with his mother and for a couple of days, and then we'll get him back here towards the end of this week to start the rehab process. And, you know, his mindset's got to be, I got to attack it. You know, when we play this game that we love, you got to assume the risk of injury. That's just part of what it was. We had two injuries this spring. He had a knee, which was non-contact, and Garfield Lawrence, a freshman defensive lineman out of Tyler, who's got a bright future as well, he was a non-contact knee. So we got two guys with knees. They're the only two guys that are on our injury report right now. And they were both non-contact, which means, to me, we're practicing the right way. You know, we didn't do anything to put these guys in harm's way. I mean, they're two non-contact knee injuries. Those things are going to happen. You got to assume the risk of that. And then when and if it happens, you got to attack the rehab process and get back as soon as you can. I know that about those guys well.
What about, the losses defensively? You got some guys going to the pros defensively. How are you replacing them?
Yeah, I lost more guys on defense than we did offense. You know, the top guy, the guy that would go first off the board would be Logan Hall. It's the second D lineman that we've had that guys are talking about here in 2 years. Peyton Turner creeped up into the end of the first round this past year. You know, I think Logan might have a chance to do that. He's just physically so imposing. Lance, I don't know if you ended up breaking him down at all, but he's different than Peyton Turner. You know, Peyton Turner is going to be a captain. He's going to be a great locker room guy. Logan Hall is not going to be a captain, but is also going to be a great locker room guy. The thing that impresses you about Logan is he never missed a practice. He played every game. He's never been injured. He's grown to 6'6", 275. And we'll play three technique and be about as disruptive as a three technique.
That's the one that people are struggling with a little bit because I struggle with it watching them on tape because you don't usually see guys play three technique that have that height. I mean they naturally have a higher center of gravity, so it's harder for them to play with leverage, which is tough inside. And yet, from what I've been told, he wants to play inside. Like he doesn't want to play end, and a lot of teams see him as potentially a base end. He fits a 3-4-5 technique. I mean, and you know, odd and even fronts, it's not really that different. People make a big deal about 4-3-3-4, but the alignment is really, you have some differences.
What about 275 playing a 3 technique?
Well, that's the thing is, he could probably grow. If you look at the body type, it's not crazy to think he's like an Eric Armstead, you know, can grow into 290 pounds. And I think that's how people envision him as playing ultimately. Playing over,
you could probably wear that pretty good at that height.
Yeah, playing 4-eye or 5 technique and playing over a tackle and giving those guys some problems because he's big and long and athletic.
Yeah, very very impressed with him just because of the practice habits. You know, we would have to pull him out of off season sprints because he wouldn't quit running. We'd pull him out of practice.
That's a good problem to have.
We'd pull him out of practice because he just wouldn't quit practicing. I mean. You know, that gets to a point where, all right, man, we know you've done everything that you can do. You don't need to practice anymore. Just go sit down. Plus, we can't block you, so you're disrupting practice. We can't get plays off. I'd yell at the D line coach, get him out. I told you to rest him. And the main reason is so we could like get a pass.
It's a good problem in this day and age. It's a good problem to have where a guy wants to play in practice.
No doubt.
That's not the worst problem in the world to have. How about? No. Well, we got to break it. When we come back, we want to get into the changes. Since you've been at University of Houston, a lot has changed with how you have to operate and move in college football. I mean, a lot based on not just NIL, but obviously transfer portals. I want to get into that with you, what it's like for a coach to try to put a roster together with everything that you have to deal with right now. It's 8:26 here on the bench. You guys want to jump in and ask a question to Coach? 713-780-3776. That's 713-780-3776. Yep. But thank goodness Coach is here. You don't have to deal with John Clay Wolf in person with Coach. You didn't have to listen to John Clay Wolf's filth and flarn.
No, I don't. Who wants to hear that? No, of course we love John Clay Wolf. John Clay Wolf every Saturday morning brings his filth and flarn right here to ESPN 97.5 and
92.5. It's a little scary. No,
it's very scary when he starts talking about stuff out there in the community because you never know what John Clay Wolf is going to say. I do know this about John Clay Wolf. John Clay Wolf is going to give you more for your vehicle. That's what John Clay Wolf does. If you're selling a car, you want to sell it to John Clay Wolf because John Clay Wolf will pay you more. He says if you can't beat CarMax, he's going to send you $100. You know what he never does? Sends you $100 because he always beats CarMax. He always beats their deal. And listen, you want to sell it to your neighbor. You got to be armed with knowing how much you can get for that vehicle, right? Listen, there used to be a blue book. Right now, it's
GimmeTheVIN.com, because that's where you find out how much your vehicle is worth. And actually, it's going to be over Blue Book in a lot of instances. So know what your value is of your car at GimmeTheVIN.com. Always find out. And then, you know what? You're going to be back. You're going to sell it to John Clay Wolf, because he's going to beat that dealership. He's going to beat CarMax. He's going to beat your neighbor. He's going to beat everybody on that price. GimmeTheVIN.com. That's GimmeTheVIN.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today. You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
8:32 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance, along with Dana Holgerson, in studio here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Touched on something there earlier, Lance, is kids wanting to play and whatnot. Is it? We're seeing it at the pro level, Dana. We got so many guys that are sitting out making $35, $40 million a year, and they don't play at all. Has it touched you? Has it touched the college game? And we know guys are sitting out in bowl games and whatnot, and it actually did hit you in the Auburn game.
Yeah, that's the only time, the only place that I've seen it. You know, we just got done with 15 practices and had, you know, really good participation. I didn't sense anybody. Not one day that didn't want to go out there and practice. So that part of it's good. Really, like during the season, the only time that I felt it was the bowl game. I mean, guys are going to keep opting out of bowl games. That's been going on for 5, 6, 7, 8 years or whatever it is. You know, good news, we beat Auburn without Logan Hall, without Marcus Jones. There's a couple more guys that didn't play that didn't have the impact that Marcus and Logan did. But I don't think you're going to see that go away. I mean, who at the end of the day, we could open up a very big discussion on what the postseason is going to look like and what bowl games are going to look like here moving forward, which is completely up in the air. But to answer your question, no, I think at the end of the day, these guys really want to play.
Yeah. How's NIL affecting you, University of Houston?
We're kind of navigating our way through it a little bit. You know, the NCAA rules say I can't have anything to do with it. Our athletic department can't have anything to do with it, but we gotta pay attention to it, you know. And so it's impacting our guys. To me, it goes back to what the actual intent of NIL is. You know, the intent is for a young man like Marcus Jones to be able to use his name, image, and likeness to do something like sell his music, you know, or you know, develop a clothing line and be able to benefit from it. That's the intent of the rule. You know, we know Alton has some things going on with some people in the city. Well, Alton's a very recognizable young man in the city that other like businesses are going to try to use him to increase their business. That's the intent of the rule. So I support that and like that and like the fact that we're in a city of 6 million people, and with the University of Houston getting bigger and better every single day, I think our student athletes are going to be able to benefit from it the right way. You know, not the you know, some of the stories that you hear out here about them, you know, just giving money away. I mean, that's just brown bagging people like they used to back in the day. You know, how much of that's actually going on, I don't know. how much our guys are actually have an opportunity to be able to benefit from name, image, and likeness here in Houston. I think we're going to have an opportunity for our guys to be able to do that as much as anybody else across the country.
Mm-hmm. Dan Holgerson with us in studio here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And, oh, by the way, heading into the Big 12, you know, I don't know what the budgets are. I know what the budgets are in the SEC for NIL. It's ridiculous. And you said it before, the University of Houston is you can't compete at that level. It's not feasible at all. But is it going to change now going into the Big 12? Is there going to be, I mean, what kind of, I don't know, is TCU, is SMU, is Baylor, is Oklahoma State, They got those big NIL budgets as well?
Well, I don't know what a NIL budget is because we can't do that within our athletic department, you know. So, I mean, what I focus on is what our day-to-day student athletes can get, which that's how we feed them, you know. That's how we the support staff that's around them, the type of equipment, weight room, athletic training room, all that stuff, facilities. That's the only thing I can do. I don't have anything to do with what these NIL deals are and how they can obtain them. They come to me and ask, and I say, I'm sorry, I just can't help you. I mean, so, you know, and they say, well, if you don't, then I may have to go somewhere else. They haven't actually said that, but that's what they're probably eventually going to say. When the Big 12 comes around, which, you know, I don't really like to talk about it too much. We talk about it in recruiting. We know it's the future, but this upcoming season is all about the American. We don't know if we're moving out in 2023 or 2024 yet. I think it's going to be one of those 2 years. And when that happens, you know, and I've already seen a little bit, we're getting better players based on the fact that we can sell the Big 12, which means you're going to get bigger, more recognizable players in here. And so the quote-unquote NIL budget that I don't know what that is or where that come from, that's going to grow, and it's going to be there, and I do think our guys are going to benefit from it. My job is to make their day-to-day the best that we possibly can. That's going out raising money for a football-only facility. You know, it's an $80 million project that I think we got about half the money right now, which is a large chunk of money. That's coming in from specific donors. That's what we need to do first. You know, probably the one disadvantage that we have right now when it comes to NIL is we got so many other things that we need to do. We need to get into the Big 12 to get the budget to where it is at those other schools that you just got done mentioning. Then we have to build facilities to get them on par for what they are. And then after that, maybe we can, you know, hopefully there's some rules in place to where the athletic department can get their hands around this NIL and do things the right way. So at that point, hopefully we'll be able to do that.
You navigated West Virginia from the Big East into the Big 12. Now University of Houston. You see where you're at, where West Virginia was at. Is this going to be a tougher job than West Virginia, or do you think this might be easier?
I think it'll be a hair easier, you know, because of the resources here in the city. The other thing is when, you know, the Big 12 West Virginia move happened overnight, you know. So I think we went in, it got announced like late October, and by January 1st we were in the Big 12. So we didn't have a ramping up process. The one thing that we have the benefit of right here is the ramping up process. I signed my contract, you know, it's a 4-year extension, so I got 6 years on the deal right now. That's part of the ramp up into the Big 12. Our staff budget got raised by $1 million. We were able to hire 7 new people within our football department. That's all part of the ramp up to the Big 12. You know, and that's a huge commitment from our administration to be able to allow us to do that. You know, and then the next year going into 2023, we're going to ramp that thing up even more. You know, it's going to be another, you know, chunk of money that's going into the budget, that's going into being able to pay coaches, that's going into, you know, raising our staff numbers. You know, I think our staff number last year was at about 25, which sounds like a lot, but that's about 15 to 20 less than what most of the schools in the Big 12 have, from recruiting to operations to graphics to video to strength and conditioning, athletic training. All that stuff follows under that umbrella. So we're able to do this little ramp-up thing to when it's going to happen, you know, and so that's going to allow us to be able to put things in place that's more on par with what the other schools in the Big 12 are. If we were in the Big 12 right now, we'd be at a huge disadvantage just because of staffing, because of budget, because of facilities. Here in a couple of years, I think that we'll be more on an even par.
That's amazing that we spent the last 7 minutes, and it's all about NIL. I mean, it's the questions, but it's about NIL, budget, staffing, being able to compete because you need a certain amount of money to be able to compete. Like that's what I think people watch games on Saturday and don't realize the Saturday you see is 30% of the fight that goes on to try to be competitive on Saturdays. The actual game, it's gotten harder to recruit or to keep players. You have to do it. Am I wrong there that you have to annual? annually there will be players on your roster moving forward that you have to recruit to stay with you. That's going to be a real possibility for some schools, I would assume.
Well, yeah.
The better you do as a coaching staff, especially if smaller schools are really going to struggle, the better you do, the more likely it is that a player is going to want to leave for the potential for money. I mean, I get it, but it's going to make your jobs harder.
Yeah, it's definitely made our jobs harder just having to you know, navigate NIL, the one-time transfer. I pray this doesn't happen, but I hear that one-time transfer may be any-time transfer here in the very near future.
Oh, my gosh. I would think it would go the other way.
I hear it's going the other way, which means, you know, you're right now you take transfers like Brandon Campbell, which I've just been told I can talk about him because he did sign. So I'm glad I didn't commit an NCAA violation on y'all's show right here. But
we don't mind.
But my bosses do. So so he did sign, and, you know, now he's going to come into your program. He's got 4 years to play for, and he can't transfer again and be eligible. Well, if that changes, then that just means that every single person on our team, all 85 scholarship players, will have an opportunity to leave after the next season. That means I got to recruit all 85.
Well, look what happened at LSU. Back here. Their basketball coach, Will Wade, they got rid of him. Every player left, every recruiting class, for every commitment from two recruiting classes, all decommitted. They have zero players now. If I could see a scenario where if a coach gets fired, you will have 35 players leave. 40 players leave.
Yeah, and one of the reasons why we all got into this profession is the educational aspect of this too. I mean, you know, I talk all the time about our guys last year, 24 of the 25 seniors had their degree when they exhausted their eligibility. The only exception to that was Logan Hall, who came out early. And so he left for the NFL, so he didn't leave with his degree. But if you can leave and be a first, second, third round draft pick, then I understand why you would do that. When you get so many transfers, they're losing degree credits to the point where they're putting themselves behind the eight ball when it comes to graduating. So if you got guys that are going to transfer multiple times, they're never going to get their degree.
Yeah. Well, not only that, if they declare that they're going in the transfer portal right after the season, they have nowhere to play in the spring. And how many kids are in the transfer portal that thought that they were going to get picked up right away, that are sitting there for how long?
Yeah, hundreds of them, maybe thousands yeah. of them. And, you know, a lot of those guys, believe it or not, a lot of them, they withdraw from school. And so not only are they not playing spring football, they're not in academics right now either. You know? So they're not working towards their degree, and they're not getting better at football, you know, and there's just too many of them right now for that. So. But that's the portal. That's what they wanted. That's what the NCAA wanted. That's what we got to deal with, and that's what we're dealing with.
We got one more segment with Dana here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 in studio with us right here. If you've got a question, you can tweet it at John Granato, at Lance Zierlein, at R Got No J. Right now, I'm talking about the fight this Saturday night. How about this? Live on Showtime, pay-per-view. Or you can go there because it's in Arlington, Texas at AT&T Stadium. Tickets are on sale right now and can be purchased at SeatGeek.com, the official ticketing provider of AT&T Stadium. Errol Spence Jr. and your Dennis Ugas. It's a welterweight world championship bout. It's the main event, the 12th unification fight in the rich history of the welterweight division. You remember Sugar Ray and Thomas Hearns, Floyd Mayweather, Manny Pacquiao? These were welterweight fights, and this is a big welterweight fight. Errol Spence Jr. and your Dennis Ugas. It's also got the co-main event. Isaac Pitbull Cruz going to face former veteran, former champion, Uriokas Gamboa in a 10-round co-feature. Cruz is 22-2-1 with 15 knockouts. And Gamboa is 30-4. So you got some good fights. You got a good undercard as well. And you can get there if you want to drive up to Arlington to AT&T Stadium. If you don't, you can get it on Showtime pay-per-view. Starts at 9 Eastern. It's 8 o'clock here. You're looking for great fights. It's this Saturday night on Showtime pay-per-view. Or get to SeatGeek.com and get up to AT&T Stadium to see Spence and Ugas.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance, along with Dana Holgorsen in studio here, reminding you that tonight our Space Cowboys have their home opener at Constellation Field. And if you can't get there, you can hear it right here on ESPN 92.5. Out west, those of you that want to hear Space Cowboy baseball, how about our Astros and their start?
Look good. Look good. Watched all four games. Looks like another good season for the Stros.
What do you think of Pena? So
looks
far?
Good. I mean, you sat there and you worry about not having a shortstop, and you plug that guy in, and he's pretty good.
Yeah.
I guess that's why the Astros did what they did. But it the pitching looks good, and you know the bats are gonna be there.
Yep, absolutely. I know you're tight. You've been to a lot of Rocket games too. The development of Jalen Green. Over the how many times you were there? I saw you a bunch of you're sitting with Tillman down there, and you saw Jalen at the beginning of the season. Look at him now.
Yeah, what he scored 30 plus like six of the last seven games or something like that.
41 in the last game.
Yeah, not too shabby. Just got better and better. All that, those young kids, you're looking at them down the stretch and everything, and you know, playing a bunch of 19 to 21 year olds, those guys are going to continue to get better. Kevin Porter Jr. looked pretty good. I mean, that dude's he's scoring some points and got a few picks coming up too. So I think this team's gonna be fun to watch here in the next couple.
No, absolutely. No, it's a lot of fun. Dana's always watching the other teams. Texans, I don't know. You know Lovey?
I do not. You know, seems like a good dude. The NFL thing is just really hard, just because I have the same job.
You're working.
I have the same job, so I don't really get to follow the football aspect of it very much. I've been to a couple of playoff games in the past when, you know, I have a Sunday off, like on a recruiting weekend or whatever it is. I may go check out a game, but, you know, I don't even really get to watch Sunday night football or Monday night football. You know, Sunday day football is completely out of the question, just because, you know, we're practicing and or working, getting ready for the next game. So, you know, of all the major sports out there, Rockets basketball and Astros baseball, I pay attention to a lot. I go to a lot of their games, and I'm a big fan, and I watch a lot of them. The NFL and the NHL, just because of where we live and all the rest of it, and because of my job, I don't get to watch that very much.
No. And what a year for U of H. You win 12 games and an Elite Eight after a Final Four. It's just fantastic. Tell us a little about Kelvin.
Yeah, I'd be remiss not to mention our basketball program. They're kind of setting the standard around the University of Houston right now. It's just an exciting place to be at this point in time. Exciting time. Never been, you know, hasn't had this much excitement surrounding the university and the 75 years that athletics has been going on there. So, it all starts with Renu Couture. I mean, she's a rock star here in Houston. She's been here since, you know, 2008. And when I was here in 2008, 2009, when she just got hired, where we're at right now in 2022 is light years ahead of where it was 14 years ago. It's a lot to be excited about. You know, I mean, it's what she's done academically, bringing in professors and ramping up the different departments. It's tier one status as a university. The amount of building that's going on right now across that campus is unbelievable. They got Cullen Street tore up, going to make the entrance into the university first class. And the new law building looks unbelievable. Building a medical school right now, let's not forget that. That's going to be huge for the university. And then you get into the athletics portion of it. And, you know, the one thing that Renew and Tillman and Pez have been striving for is Power 5 status in athletics, you know, and we've achieved that. You know, by going into the Big 12, it's going to change everything. It's not going to happen overnight. Probably the biggest message that we have as an institution is we can't relax now. just because we got the invite doesn't mean we've made it. We're probably a good 5 years away from being fully funded by the Big 12 to be able to get that. You know, it's 35 million now. It's probably going to be more upwards of 40 to 45 million yearly for our athletic department. That's going to relieve some of the stress that the school has had to be able to keep our head above water as an athletic department, because we act like a Power Five school right now, both basketball and football, baseball with their new facility, track and field, all the rest. We act like a Power Five institution now, and we should, and Houston's deserving of it. But now is the time that everybody's got to double down. We're going to have so many fundraising events come up here in the next couple of months, you know, leading into next year's football season, to where we got to get going right now. But what basketball's done, what Kelvin's done, is brought continuity to basketball, much like we're trying to do football wise. They got their facility in place, you know, which is why they're getting top tier basketball talent, which is why they've been Elite Eight and Final Four the last 2 years. Fantastic guy, awesome representative of the University of Houston. I lean on him a lot. I've asked him for a lot of advice on how to do some things around here, and he's been very gracious to help us out along the way.
I don't think people really fully realize that Houston has gone through this for three decades, maybe more. The need for money, the need to the difficulties financially. They compete at a high level and have for a long time, but it's always been a struggle. Like, it's been a struggle for a long time. Even when my dad was at U of H, and they were winning Cotton Bowls and winning Southwest Conference, it was always tougher to get the people out. I think the stadium on campus made a huge, huge difference, without question. But the need for funding and to get to get people involved, to get you know, the alumni involved, has always been really, really important to Houston, because there's been financial struggles. Like, it's been tough.
Absolutely. Well, it's a pro town, so you're fighting for that dollar is awfully difficult.
It's tougher. Yeah.
Before you go, Dabo, did you see his comments this week that it's going to get blown up? That there's going to that the big schools are going to break away. And U of H has got to put itself in a position where it's more attractive than the other Big 12 schools to be part of that breakaway by the bigger schools.
Yeah, we're on track is all I can say. You know, I mean, if that happens or whatever, I mean, I don't. Who knows where it is? There's so much uncertainty when it comes to college athletics and conference realignment. Always has been for the last 10 years. Lance, kind of piggyback on what you said right there. It's when the Big 12 didn't invite Houston 33 years ago, Houston went into a little bit of a funk for about 15 years. Okay, so, you know, the last 15 years, we've kind of dug ourselves out of that, but we're close. Just got to keep proceeding. You know, winning solves a lot of that. And, you know, pretty much every sports, entity on campus right now is winning. That's a big start. And that gets people in the seats. That gets people to want to come watch the games. And then when you go into the Big 12 and you got name recognition with Oklahoma State and TCU and Texas Tech and Baylor and West Virginia, Iowa State, Kansas State, that's going to do a lot for attendance as well. You know, not just in football, but basketball, baseball, track and field, the rest of it. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, no question. No question. Dana Holgerson right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So you just finished up. What's next for you? You got to get your staff a little time off?
Absolutely not.
It's called. Hey, guys, I'm trying to get you some time off. Those of you at the door. Yeah, trying to get you a little vacation here, and he won't do it for you.
No, we got spring recruiting. So I go fundraise, and the assistant coaches go spring recruiting. Our players will be on campus for 3 weeks, and then they got finals, and student-athletes have pretty much the whole month of May off. That's the only month that they have off. So, you know, May will be a little off time for the student-athletes, and I'll probably give coaches a couple of weeks off there the last part of May, and then we're back at it June 1st because recruiting opens back up. We'll be working with our players. We'll get all the new guys in here, and then we'll be recruiting our tail off.
Give the guys some time off already. They're working hard, tired. Dana Holgerson right here in studio with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coming up in this hour, Scoop Jackson is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. We'll get back to Lance's draft after this. Dana, thanks for joining us, man. We really appreciate it. Good to have you in studio. And congratulations on a great season, and we're looking forward to another one.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate y'all having me on. Go Cougs.
Dana Holgorsen right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Lance, your patio.
TexasCustomPatios.com. That's TexasCustomPatios.com. That's the website. If you want to go to TCP Lance, TCPLance.com, you can see the before and after of my patio, and it's unbelievable. Just an absolute game changer for what it has done for my family. The ability to have my kids go outside or myself go outside at any point, watch our shows, watch a game, grab pizza, grill steaks, grill burgers, hot dogs, have neighbors over, have friends come over, have family come over. Depending on how big your space is, you can set up an awesome, you know, picnic area, your own tables, get your own furniture out there. What it does is it improves your quality of life. It improves your ability to live your best life, and it's going to add value to your home. Whatever the money you put into it, you're going to get out of it. And this is a great thing. They'll help you with financing too. So if you're looking for financing options, they'll do that so that you can get exactly what you're looking for. TexasCustomPatios.com, TCPLance.com to see a before and after and to see how they can work for you.
ESPN 97.5.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.